Hey, everybody, welcome back to Take on the Lake with Lake Expo. I'm Nathan Bechtel. Thanks so much for joining us. Just a solo episode today, and it's about politics. So my apologies if you hate that topic. We've got more than 40 other episodes. Go back and catch one of those. But I get asked a lot what I think about stuff that's on the ballot in Missouri. And admittedly, a lot of that stuff can be kind of convoluted. I wouldn't even assume that I understand all the implications of everything. But I want to talk for a moment about Missouri's very important August election. As I'm recording this, it's just a few days away, or actually, as I'm recording this, it's about a week away. Coming up, though, and I'm here with my take on two big amendments that you're going to get a chance to vote on if you're a Missouri voter. So when you go to the August ballot, you're going to see four amendments. And the August election is always the first Tuesday of August, right? So you're going to see four amendments on the ballot. Amendments 1, 2, 4, and 5. Now, Amendment 2 is kind of a weird one. It's not really worth talking about. It doesn't apply to most people. You can vote on it if you want. It's not really worth talking about. Amendment 1 is to renew a 0.1% sales tax for Missouri's state parks, historic sites, and soil and water conservation. Do whatever you want to with that. If you think Missouri is doing a great job on those things, then sure, renew the 0.1% sales tax. That's all I got on that one. I want to talk for a minute about Amendments 4 and 5, because these have drawn a surprising reaction from a lot of people, and I think a lot of people have actually switched their position on these one way or the other as time has gone on. Now, you could ask, in switching, did they actually land on the right position or the wrong? But did they switch away from the right position, right? Well, who's to say? I guess, I don't know. They would say that they have the right position now. But let's talk about these one by one and just kind of break them down a little bit. And I'm going to tell you what I think, and then you can take it or leave it. Amendment 4. This amendment would change Missouri's constitution when it comes to citizen initiative petitions. Now, your eyes might have glazed over when I said that just now, so let me explain to you what a citizen initiative petition, what a tongue twister is, and why it matters. A citizen initiative petition is the process that allows Missourians to just get signatures together and put a proposed law or constitutional amendment in front of voters without having to go through the legislature to do that. The legislature can put a constitutional amendment in front of voters. Either way, it takes voters to approve it. But a citizen initiative petition allows people to put a petition together so that voters can then decide, yeah, we want to change the Constitution this way or that way, and it doesn't have to go through the legislature and get their approval. Amendment 4 is specifically about initiative petitions that would change the Constitution, because there are actually two types of petitions. One that would change the Constitution, one that would change state statute. The only thing you need to know there, really, I mean, there's a lot of things, but the main thing is that the Constitution is generally harder to change than state statute and feels more set in stone. Again, the Constitution has to be changed by the people. The state statute is changed by the legislature, right? Except in the case of if the people have a petition to change state statute. But Amendment 4 is about changing the Constitution through the initiative petition process. Now, in the past 50 years, Missourians have changed the Constitution. By my count, somebody can fact check me on this, but this is when I did my research, successfully changed the Constitution 21 times with the citizen initiative petition in the past 50 years. I've got an article about this at Lake Expo. You can see the 21 different petitions that were successful and the name of them and kind of what they did and how much they passed by, some of them just by a razor-thin margin. But these are all over the place, from the very important Hancock Amendment that we're going to talk about in a minute, to allowing gambling, allowing horse betting, allowing riverboat gambling, to banning human cloning, to legalizing marijuana, to creating a so-called right to reproductive freedom, which is essentially just a right to an abortion. All of those actually, a lot of those passed with a pretty thin margin. Some of them passed by a wide margin, but a lot of them were a very thin margin. Just in 2024, actually, Missourians changed the Constitution to allow sports betting, and the vote, the percentage, was 50.05% yes to 49.95% no. So a tiny, tiny margin got that changed in the Missouri Constitution. You could ask, why are we putting these things in our Constitution? A great question and a discussion for a whole different time. But of the 21 citizen initiative petitions that have passed in the last 50 years, 11 of them, so more than half of them, passed with less than 60% vote of approval. In other words, they were like 50-something percent to 40-something percent. So by a pretty small margin, they got passed. Right now, to change the Constitution in Missouri, a petition, a citizen initiative petition, or a constitutional change proposed by the legislature, either way, it has to have a 50% plus one vote. So if 1 million people cast a vote on that issue on the ballot, then it would just take 500,001 votes, and that would change the Constitution. That's how Missouri law is right now. Okay, so a real estate transaction is one of the biggest moments in your life. And when it's time to sell your house at the lake, there are, what, probably 1,000 realtors to choose from. And any of those can put a sign in your yard. They can all get it on the MLS. But not everybody can get your listing in front of the lake's largest and most engaged audience. That's lakeexpo.com. And that's what makes Lake Expo Real Estate different. It's a fusion of the lake's top real estate company and lakeexpo.com, the local leading digital media company with the largest audience at the lake, probably where you found Take on the Lake, and certainly the one that produces Take on the Lake. Lake Expo Real Estate doesn't just list homes, they market them. So if you're thinking about selling, don't just ask who's going to list my house, ask who's going to see my listing. You know what also makes Lake Expo Real Estate different? I'm a partner in the company, so I bet you didn't see that coming, but you probably did. When you choose Lake Expo Real Estate, you're actually in a roundabout way helping support me and this show. That's just an added perk. Check out Lake Expo Real Estate online at lakeexporealestate.com. They're also on all the major social media platforms. You can find them there. Get your lake house seen. Get your lake house sold. Lake Expo Real Estate. So what Amendment 4 proposes to do is to raise the bar on changing the Missouri Constitution through the citizen initiative petition portion. Hopefully this is not getting too boring, but it's a really both of these are really convoluted issues, and it's worth unpacking exactly what they're proposing to do. So when it comes to the citizen initiative petitions, this amendment, Amendment 4, would not look at a majority vote across the state, but it would actually look at a majority vote. It would change the Constitution, basically, to where it takes a majority vote across every one of the state's congressional districts in order to pass an amendment to the Constitution. That's a difference. Right now, it's just a majority statewide in terms of yes to no votes. With this amendment, Amendment 4, it would be a majority in each of the state's congressional districts. Missouri has 8 congressional districts. So a proposed constitutional change by citizens put on the ballot, if Amendment 4 gets passed, would have to pass with 50% plus one, so over 50% of the vote in every one of those 8 districts. So I dug into the history a little bit of initiative petitions just to see how Missouri might be different if this had always been the rule. Like, let's say it hadn't always been 50% plus one, but it was always the congressional district rule like's being proposed. Well, it turns out actually that it's very hard to find out whether or not those past 21 petitions that we mentioned earlier would have passed or not if this rule were in effect, because Secretary of State actually reports votes by county and not by congressional district. And some counties are actually split between 2 congressional districts, so you wouldn't actually really be able to know which way that district went without getting granular on a level that I am not capable of doing research on this at this point. So that was kind of a dead end. But we can be somewhat sure, I don't know if that's if that makes sense to say that way, but we could be fairly sure that some of the petitions, the ones that got maybe just barely above 50%, we could say those very likely would not have passed if Amendment 4 that's being proposed here in August, if that had been the law of the land previously. It seems likely that the constitutional amendments that just passed with razor-thin margins likely would not have passed. Now, again, you could have just a razor-thin margin in every single congressional district, and then it would pass. But like take, for example, you know, sports betting that passed recently. The 1976 sales tax that funds the Missouri Department of Conservation, the stem cell amendment that banned human cloning, the riverboat gambling amendment over the past 50 years, all of those in particular passed by razor-thin margins and very possibly would not have passed if they had had to clear all of Missouri's congressional districts. So that's just an example of what maybe would have been the case, and a look at some things that were really controversial issues, you know, the gambling issue and the stem cell thing, all these. So in more recent years, though, we can take a better look. Ballotpedia, which is a great resource, did an analysis and found that none of the four amendments that we've had since 2020 in Missouri, there have been four constitutional amendments that have actually passed. None of those four would have passed if we were using this new rule that's being proposed under Amendment 4. That means the, you know, so-called right to reproductive freedom, which is the abortion amendment, that one would not have passed. The marijuana legalization amendment to the Constitution would not have passed. The sports betting amendment to the Constitution would not have passed, and the Medicaid expansion would not have passed. That's according to Ballotpedia's analysis. None of those would have passed because we know that those did not get majorities in all the congressional districts, again, according to the Ballotpedia analysis. So there's the explanation on what Amendment 4 would like to do or says that it will do. Here's my take. I'm a yes on Amendment 4, and I'm a yes because honestly, when I look at the amendments that have just barely passed, personally, for most of them, I wish that those had failed. Now, you could say, well, I like those amendments. Okay, well, then, you know, okay. But the point is, all of those were just a razor-thin margin on, I think, every one of those that I just mentioned. Now, there are people who have a really different take on this than I do, and the opposition to Amendment 4 falls, I think, roughly into two camps. And again, somebody's going to say I mischaracterized this. I'm trying not to. There you go. First group that opposes Amendment 4 are people who, in my opinion, are just obsessed with using the word democracy everywhere. So these are the people that actually like the idea of it being just 50% plus one to make any change on anything, anywhere, anytime. The idea of democracy is almost a religious concept to these people. And so anytime they see it, like the bar being raised on what they imagine to be the people, 50% plus one, which again, I would say, well, there's a lot of people who can't vote and all this kind of stuff. So it's not a democracy and we're not going to get into it, but I'm not going to have the whole we're a republic, not a democracy debate either, because you've already heard that 1,000 times. But I'll just say this. I do not think that every person who is currently voting is the kind of person that I want to have say over my life. So if we can make it harder for anybody to have say over my life, I'm going to just call that a win. Here's the second group that I think oppose Amendment 4. These people don't like the way it's written, either because they think that it shouldn't be anchored to congressional districts. Like they think maybe it shouldn't be the congressional district thing. It should be like it should, instead of 50% plus one, it should be like 60%. It should just raise the threshold of all Missourians that voted on this thing, right? So they think just raise the threshold instead of moving to the congressional district. So they don't like that. Or there's people who don't like that this applies to citizen petitions, but it would not apply to constitutional amendments that are proposed by the legislature. So again, just to clarify, Amendment 4 would still, if the legislature puts an amendment on the ballot, a proposed amendment on the Missouri ballot, that one would just need 50% plus one to pass. But citizen initiative petitions, one that are put together by citizens on the ballot or, you know, interest groups or whatever, those would have to have a majority in all of Missouri's 8 congressional districts. Now, to those folks that are opposing it for those reasons, I would say, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Politics, as they say, is the art of the possible, and the amendment that we have before us would really prevent the kinds of terrible amendments that we've seen from happening. And we know that there's a lot more on the horizon. Even people that have been for and against it have all acknowledged that they expect a ton more citizen initiative petitions to be moving into Missouri politics in the coming years. So I also, frankly, think that passing Amendment 4 would have a deterrent effect. I think it would keep outside interests from trying to push super controversial changes into Missouri, because that actually happens. Back to the Right to Reproductive Freedom Amendment that was recently passed. Did you know that that was heavily funded by out-of-state dark money organizations? That's been the case with a lot of recent amendments. Money from out-of-state pouring in hopes of getting their agendas from some other place copy-pasted into more state constitutions. And they rely on being able to do it on razor-thin vote margins because they pump all this money in and do tons and tons and tons and tons of marketing, and they just inch that vote above 50%. And so, again, when you look in these recent years, you see that we've had these amendments that passed by just the tiniest margin. And some of those, at least, were funded by, marketed by, promoted by all these out-of-state groups that don't have anything to do with Missouri, but they're pushing forward an agenda onto the Constitution. And I would just say that if it's that controversial in Missouri, I don't think I want outside-the-state voices pouring into that. And also, maybe we ought to raise the threshold on that a little bit. So raising the bar there, I think, might actually deter groups from even trying it when it comes to these really divisive, controversial, a lot of them are social type issues. Now, there's some other provisions in Amendment 4 too, involving foreign funding of these petitions, fraud, making the full text available to voters, and some of these things. So, again, I'm not going to dive into all the details of those. You can go check those out. But the big change, the one that everyone seems to be fighting about, is that voting threshold. And again, I know there's some good folks who oppose Amendment 4. I just think that they need to take the W as it's being handed them, to the bird in the hand, right? All that stuff. So my take, vote yes on 4. Now, Amendment 5. This is the one that I myself have actually changed my mind on. When I first heard that we had an amendment that would get rid of the income tax in Missouri, I honestly thought that it sounded too good to be true. There's a spoiler for you. I had long thought an income tax in Missouri was terrible. I hate the federal income tax. I don't like income tax. I think income taxes should be abolished everywhere, nationally and on the state level. But somehow, from where I'm looking at it, this amendment found a way to be worse than the income tax itself. Now, first of all, it would not actually get rid of the income tax right away. It would do it in phases. Because obviously the government wants to replace that lost revenue that it would lose by abolishing the income tax. And so the amendment actually would allow, Amendment 5 would allow the Missouri legislature to temporarily suspend some applications of the Hancock Amendment, the one that we mentioned earlier, and it would be this phasing out of the income tax, and they would suspend some of the applications of the Hancock Amendment to do that. So let me explain that a little bit. The Hancock Amendment is a taxpayer protection amendment. It was passed in 1980. It basically limits how much the legislature can raise taxes and fees without getting a vote of the people. Amendment 5 would create an exception, so to speak, in the Hancock Amendment for certain tax changes that the state would use to phase out the income tax. The idea being they're going to phase out the income tax, but they need to, again, they say they need to, but whatever, they need to raise revenues some other way as they're phasing down the income tax. So the income tax would be phased out little by little, and they would raise revenues through other taxes little by little. And the amendment actually allows them to do this, even though normally that would be considered, my understanding is, a violation of the Hancock Amendment. Well, you might say, what's the problem with that? As long as they're not actually growing how much total taxes they're actually taking, right? If it's a net zero thing, then who cares? Well, I know everybody's situation is a little bit different, but I've become convinced that I myself will be paying a lot more in taxes every year if this amendment passes. So now we're back to my earlier method of just judging these amendments, which is, you know, what will be the near-term outcome and how do I think this will affect my life? And I am asking that because there's good-sounding arguments both directions for the long-term outcome of Amendment 5. But the argument for passing it mostly comes from people who, I think, pay a lot of income tax and would benefit from not paying it, or a lot of times from people who are very politically wonky, who are all into the nuts and bolts of the legislature and the processes, and they have these grand visions for how they're going to do it, and they promise that eventually, someday, the lawmakers will get our overall tax burden down and that this whole thing will have been a net gain for you, citizen. Maybe. I'm not saying that's impossible, but, you know, best laid plans. Short term, what we can know for sure is that the legislature is looking at putting a sales tax on services to make up for some of the revenue drop from reducing and scaling back the income tax. So again, we'd be reducing the income tax and eventually getting rid of it, but we would be putting a sales tax on services. I've spoken to multiple lawmakers who confirm this. That means You wouldn't pay an income tax, but you could be taxed on your plumber's bill and on your mechanic's bill and on your lawn care guy's bill and on your painter's bill and, heck, on your Lake Expo advertising bill, which is just terrible, right? So, I mean, the bill's great, but the taxing on it is terrible, right? All right, quick pause here, because if you're on Lake of the Ozarks and you don't have Exto, honestly, I don't really know what you're doing. Like, best case scenario, you never need it. And that's great, and because nobody ever really wants to break down out on Lake of the Ozarks. But if you do, you're either the guy who is drifting, frantically trying to call a buddy to come hook up to your boat and drag you back to the dock, or you're the guy who just pulls out his phone, taps a button, knows that you're taken care of. That's the difference. Plus, Exto members save 10 cents a gallon at more than a dozen marinas around the lake. Honestly, you know how much fuel your boat holds. If you boat very much, that's going to probably cover the cost of your membership. Exto is a membership. It's not a one-time thing. It is peace of mind for the whole boating season. Towing, fuel savings, help when you need it, no stress, no scrambling. Honestly, it's one of those things where once you have it, you're like, yeah, I'm never not having this again. That's what our members tell us, and that's why we are almost at 1,000 members at Lake of the Ozarks. So if you're boating at the lake, just go get it. LakeExto.com. Join today. Use promo code TAKE. And you can save $25 on your first year. Just use promo code TAKE, and you'll save $25 on your first year. Not even going to make you type in TAKE on the lake. Just use promo code TAKE, and you'll save $25 at LakeExto.com on your Exto Captain's Club membership. Exto, it's a no-brainer. Don't worry, boat happy with Exto. So now, pro Amendment 5 people will rightly say that the amendment requires that the state not come out with a net gain on this, like I was saying earlier, that it has to be a flat thing. So the state would have to reduce the income tax by approximately the same amount of revenue that they're receiving from the new sales tax. There's some local applications regarding school districts and all this stuff. All this stuff gets really in the weeds. So while at least on paper, Amendment 5 doesn't increase the government's budget, it doesn't like make the government bigger, give the government more money, the state government, it does change the makeup of who is funding the state government. Now, again, for you, maybe you look at how much you pay in state income tax every year, and then you kind of make a guess at how much you would pay in taxes on services. Well, I have my plumber and I have this and that, whatever. Okay. And you figure that you'll come out in the good. I'm not convinced that I will. And I think that normal, non-super high-income Missourians, let's call them, are going to be in the same boat. So I would love to get rid of the income tax, but here's my proposal for how we ought to do this instead. The legislature should cut spending to the point where there is a surplus that is the same amount as the revenue that is collected by income taxes. Translate that. I didn't look this number up. I'm just going off the top of my head. Let's just say that that Missouri collects $1 billion a year in income tax revenue. Then let's cut spending to the point that there's $1 billion a year surplus. Then, heck, let the surplus even just roll for like a year or two. Give the state a healthy reserve, a couple billion in the bank for a rainy day, but then put an amendment on the ballot that kills the income tax and doesn't replace it with anything. I will vote yes on that one. But for Amendment 5, as it stands right now, I'm a no. Yes on 4, no on 5. That's my take on the lake. See you at the polls.